had to keep this under wraps forever.
On Letterman?
Letterman.
You, who wasn't blonde, who was from the Midwest? 15 years ago, this town, the Carson people, they wouldn't let you play on their field. So I had to move the game. Hey, fellas, the game's over here now. I moved the game. Who the hell do you think forced Carson out so you could get the best damn job in comedy?
Work to kiss your Italian face. I got eight of the freaking New York Post to bury that fossil Carson. All for you.
Oh, do it. You got eight of the Post.
Jokes. You just want me to keep serving you the steaks. You never want to know how I'm slaughtering the cow.
Demanded that he see for himself.
As you can see, under magnification, the creature's skin appears to be mesh-like. Rather like that of a lizard.
Has there been any communication from it to us?
I'm not sure. Possibly.
First time I got it, I was like, I couldn't get off the bed for about like a day.
And do you know, did something cause it? Something?
Well, the very first time I felt it, it was from football. You know, tackle football in high school. These head-on drills.
What have you learned about him metaphysically? What's the hip, what's doctor's side?
This is an area I'm a little remiss in. But I'm pretty certain it has to do with my father and the panic of
what kind of panic?
The panic of like being a adolescent or maybe a young adult. It was in my freshman year of college.
That it may use some form of thought projection. Sure, possibly. We believe that it may use some form of
thought projection. At least, that's what the men who've been close to it seem to think.
How long do we keep this to ourselves?
Well, there's no telling. We will determine that. Why?
I think mankind has the right to know about something as significant as this.
Well, yes.
Of course.
We don't intend to keep this under wraps forever.
Right. Okay.
Welcome to the program. It's a form you've been accustomed to since before you were born into the before you were born. And I'm not speaking in code. New metaphysics. Gary Geiserman right here. Jacked in. Later, perhaps, jacked off. 90.3 in the FM. Operating as usual. On the run. Here at the House of Chaos. The Z House, aptly named. And I will be running until I find out what makes Sammy run. Even if I have to look on the mixing board of the DJ next to me. As Woody might say. I'm trying to talk in American modern earth speak, both for myself, since I am long ago lost overboard in the current civilization, and I see others swimming around with me, forming a human circle. Because sharks have been sighted. And we're so screwed up that it gets them all excited too. You know, the tabula rasa of modern human earth. Where we don't even know our own blood type anymore. I'm AB myself, and damn proud to be a hemoglobular minority. I saw the Pulp Fiction of the next decade. I hope. I hope I'm not being premature here. I usually am. Except where it counts, my friends. I don't have to tell you. We've had those trance-like full moon experiences out on the meadow with the ability to forget. It all happened the next day, and I did perform well. I went to the bridge. Fight Club, like Pulp Fiction, except less syllables, slimmed down version, but more words. Let's just put it this way. It's not really about fighting. It's about getting along. Seeking balance and harmony with creatures who live in your world. I'll say no more, since I don't believe in film reviews, only film discussion. And since this is the radio, we're all alone.
Gosh, say, grow up.
You lied to me?
Look, we've always played the same game. You never want to know what I'm doing for you so you can be Mr. Nice Guy. Book and war? What do I know? Helen handles that. I do the jokes. You just want me to keep serving you the steaks. You never want to know how I'm slaughtering the cow.
I can't believe you lied to me.
We needed the story. It helped us. I did it for you.
Yeah, I called Johnny, and I told him it didn't come from us because you told me that it didn't come from us. I can't believe you had me lie to Johnny Carson.
Itself. One of the meanings of that phrase is the more you use choice, the more powerful your use of choice becomes. if you make one choice a year, it's not going to be as powerful as if you make 100 choices a year. And even if 50% of your choices are wrong, you're going to be further ahead making 100 choices with 50 wrong than making one choice. Choice supersedes and surpasses itself.
The walls here were raw steel, striped with rough brown ribbons of epoxy, where some kind of covering had been ripped away. She'd hidden from a work crew, crouching, the Fletcher cradled in her hands, her suit steel gray, while the two slender Africans in their balloon-tired work cart passed. The men had shaven heads and worn orange overalls. One was singing softly to himself in a language Case had never heard, the tones and melody alien and haunting. The head speech, 3Jane's essay on Straylight, came back to him as she worked her way deeper into the maze of the place. Straylight was crazy. Was craziness grown in the resin concrete they'd mixed from pulverized lunar stone? Grown in welded steel and the tons of knickknacks, all the bizarre impedimenta they'd shipped up the well to lie in their winding nest. But it wasn't the craziness he understood, not like Armitage's madness, which he now imagined he could understand. Twist a man far enough, then twist him as far back in the opposite direction. Reverse and twist again. The man broke, like breaking a length of wire.
So what they decided to do was build some secret bases out in the middle of the desert to study all this. But Secretary Forrestal demanded that he see for himself what was going on out there.
In here, gentlemen. He knows you're here.
I thought this was mirrored.
It is.
Jeez.
What's the matter, James?
More of them are coming.
What do you mean?
Different ones. Not like him. Many different races. Different species. They're coming.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right.
No. Something's happening here. Norman, we're losing him. Check the cardiogram for arrhythmia.
Get an endotube, stat.
Communicate.
Hold the copy.
Tell me what to do.
What can we do for you?
So where is the body? The one that died. Have you seen it?
No. I have seen photographs.
Well, photographs can be fake.
That's true. But the people whose word I've come to rely on insist they were not. What's more, they maintain that Secretary Forrestal was correct when he said he somehow sensed that more of them would be coming. And they say further contact did in fact take place. Now, if that's true, then what happened here is merely the tip of the iceberg.
And the more powerful your choice, the more mysterious, the more mystical your choice, the more powerful is your magic. The more powerful your choice, the more powerful is your magic. And how can you make choice powerful? By being conscious. By being more conscious. If you are more conscious, more present, with greater authority, autonomy, being and becoming more masterful, artisan, with dominion and destiny in hand, being conscious of choice makes choice more powerful. And the more powerful powerful your choice, the more powerful your magic, the more readily you can change reality in accordance to your will, your love, and your imagination.
Calm down.
Set the bird!
Down there, we're not supposed to.
God damn it, don't argue with me. I'm trying to start. Go get that man.
Michelle, really, he's not the one we should be thinking about.
God damn it, all of you! Am I commander or am I not? Am I the captain or a goddamn private?
You got those that are hit bad, sir. That was all I meant.
Give you an order, Private Furry.
Go first, Sergeant. Who are we going after over here?
Who thinks Jock?
Well, Jock.
That's too bad.
Sir? Sir, can I come back to the company after we get Jock? Get back to battalion?
Okay. But you gotta get permission.
Sir.
All right.
Am I right?
Shut up, Mickey! You're still alive! Keep moving! Keep moving!
Magnificent, sir! Magnificent! The finest thing these old eyes have seen in a long time. Beautifully conceived. Beautifully executed. You'll be mentioned in battalion orders. Jump on this beautifully.
Yes, sir. Over.
What's in
it? And your second kill was brilliant. Just brilliant.
They might well have carried the ridge with loss. I don't think they were hurt too bad. Blaine lived well, too. Now, how many emplacements did they locate? Did they knock any out? We ought to have those bridges cleaned out by noon. Over. Oh, sir. Are you there?
Over.
I said, how many emplacements did they locate? Did they knock any out? Over.
Children. I don't know, sir.
What the hell do you mean you don't know? How can you not know? Over.
Right here behind the first swell, sir. I'm right here behind the swell. You want me to stand up and wave? Over.
No, I can see where you are. I want you to do something. I want you to get up there and see what the situation is. I want Hill 2 to get my hands to mine. Now, goddammit, the Admiral's out of a plan for this. Come to life, you little snarls. Out!
Thank you.
Bringing us many gifts of medical knowledge and healing, which we are sharing. We're in the process of eventually developing healing centers where we'll be working on this. And so these are they're returning and they're coming, and their teachings are matching up with the other teachings. There are many other parts of this sacred knowledge that are coming together at this time. Now we have a prophecy up in the Northwest, where I come from, up in Washington State. And this prophecy speaks of the time of when the little sister would speak and the grandfather would answer and the land would be cleansed clean to the ocean. Well, back in December of 1979, a medicine brother of mine packed up his people and left the coast of Washington. And he said, moved over the other side of us. And he said the time had come that the little sister was going to speak. And he moved his people over there for safety. At the time, the geologists in Portland, Oregon, if you asked them what were the active volcanoes in the United States, they say, well, Mount Lassen and Mount Baker, and that's about it, you know. And then and up in Alaska, of course, there's a couple up there. But the one that we call the little sister wasn't an active volcano as far as they were concerned. But in March of 1980, the little sister started whispering.
He thought of the toxin sex. Old Ash Poo was dead too, drilled through the eye with Molly's microscopic dart.
13.
See, it was like this when we waltz into this place. A couple of papish cats is doing an Aztec two-step. And I says, Dad, let's cut. But then this dame comes up behind me, see, and says, you and me could really exist. Wow, I says. Only the next day, she has bad teeth. And really hates poetry.
Take freaking deals, so go to freaking confession.
I got a show to do, Helen.
Tired, but we're here to discuss and hear out everybody's opinion on what we should do about late night.
Well, I think this should have been settled long before now. Jay has the job. He's doing great. He has a great attitude.
Whoa, wait a minute.
I mean, I thought we were here to talk this thing out, not to do some self-serving commercial.
Well, I mean,
if you want the executive producer job that bad, Rick, kiss Jay's face in private, okay?
I
didn't mean to...
We all
see the job that Jay is doing.
I don't think I represented
musical
myself.
Musical acts, an original comedy past the monologue, and his pitiful interviewing, which, by the way...
Looks like it'll never get any better.
Let's talk about what we think it'll really cost us to match CBS's offer for Letterman. And on the other hand, if Leno quits to go to CBS...
Are we out from under the $10 billion that we'd owe him if we fired him?
Warren,
I've got some serious concerns here. I don't think you can just throw off Jay
Very good of you to come so late.
Hi, Jack. No, please, sit. And keep talking, everybody. I'm just here to listen.
Sorry it's so warm. The air conditioning went out. Warren, why don't you continue?
Oh, all right. Well, my fear is that Letterman won't cooperate. It isn't in his personality. He'll stiff us. I mean, you know, remember, this is the guy who kicks NBC executives out of his anniversary party.
That's an old story. That is so petty.
I mean, excuse me for a minute. There's still a serious question that his act can play an hour earlier, and a lot of us think
And don't forget, with Leno, we own the show again. Letterman wants to own his show. then he has all the ancillary profits.
May I say something here?
Jack, please, of course.
You know, I'm not a regular late-night viewer, so I wouldn't presume to make a call about who's the best comedian. All I want to say is this. As always, I'm for whatever is the best business deal. That's for you, Bob, and your people to determine. However, if the decision comes down to a tie on all angles, well, I'd cast my vote for loyalty.
Good night. Good night, Jack. Thanks very much for dropping by. I think that about wraps it up. We'll meet again tomorrow.
What I am worried about is what we will look like if we throw out the loyal dog and put in the guy who's always bad-mouthing us to the press. It'll be Pauly Norville all over again.
Betty, how the hell is this Pauly Norville?
The most talked-about incident is said to have occurred at Holloman Air Force Base in 1964. I wasn't there personally, but I'm given to understand that a disc actually landed by intention. And then an exchange with alien life forms occurred. With alien life forms occurred. You know the movie, Close Encounters? Yeah. It was based on that incident.
Deprived of whatever expert overdose he'd mixed for himself. That was a more puzzling death, Ashpools. The death of a mad king. And he'd killed the puppet he'd called his daughter.
Very small family of compounds called the tryptamine hallucinogens bear careful examination if we're seriously interested in this question of extraterrestrial penetration.
know who Huey Newton was? You know, a lot of people I talk to, they're black at your age, they have no idea who he was. Huey. Why do you think there are no more black leaders?
Some people think it's because they all got killed. But I think it has more to do with the decimation of the manufacturing base in the urban centers. Senator, an optimistic, energized population throws up optimistic, energized leaders. So when you shift manufacturing to the Sun Belt of the Third World, you destroy the blue-collar core of the black activist population.
Some people would say the problem is purely cultural.
The power of the media that's continually controlled by fewer and fewer people. Add to that monopoly of the media, a consumer culture that's based on self-gratification. Now, you're not likely to have a population that wants leadership that calls for self-sacrifice.
But the fact is, I'm just a materialist at heart.
So look at the economic base. High domestic employment means jobs for African Americans. World War II meant lots of jobs for black folks. That is what energized the community for the civil rights movement of the 50s and the 60s. An energized, hopeful community will not only produce leaders, but more importantly, it'll produce leaders they'll respond to. Now, what do you think, Senator?
Braun plucked at the hood of the modern suit and Molly turned left through another archway. Wonder where our Peter is now, huh? Maybe see that boy soon, Molly muttered. And Armitage, where's he, Case? Dead, Case said, knowing she couldn't hear him. He's dead. He flipped. The Chinese program was face to face with the target ice, rainbow tents gradually dominated by the green of the rectangle representing the TA cores, arches of emerald across the colorless void. How's it going, Dixie? Fine, the flatline said. Too slick. Things amazing. Should have had one that time in Singapore. Did the old New Bank of Asia for a good 50th of what they were worth. But that's ancient history. This baby takes all the drudgery out of it. Makes you wonder what a real war would be like now.
Most of your life is reflex action. But more intense expression of feelings were permitted then.
And I'd gone out with two rather close friends. We were maybe 3 miles from the front lines. And it was a little town in Germany. We had a lot of casualties. And I went out, we got very drunk. And coming back, Mertz and I started kind of playing with each other. I remember it was on a bridge. And we actually kind of had sex. I mean, it was with Smitty, the third person over there. Oh, come on, guys, you're drunk, you know, stop it, all of those things. But the traumatic thing about it is that both of those guys were dead in 3 days. Smitty had been hit in with a sniper in a foxhole right next to mine, and Mertz had gotten some artillery right in his stomach, and all of this within a week of having had this experience.
While the war raged on, radical social changes were seen on the home front. As the workforce swelled with women, lesbians gained economic independence. Hundreds of homosexual bars sprung up as gay military personnel flooded the port cities.
Dayton women are marching to war. Yes, in every essential wartime activity, in the factories and at the airfields, Dayton women are helping to keep the wheels of industry turning.
Immediately, the mushroom bears looking at. First argument, entirely a physical argument. Psilocybin is 4-phosphoryloxy-NN-dimethyltryptamine. First argument, entirely a physical argument. Psilocybin is 4-phosphoryloxy. NN-dimethyltryptamine. What this means is that there is a phosphorus group substituted at the 4 position of the molecule.
On the street, Kiss said, we'd be out of a job. You wish, the flatline said. Wait till you're steering that thing upstairs through black ice. Sure, Kiss said. Something small and decidedly non-geometric had just appeared on the far end of one of the emerald arches.
Get information. It's amusing to me to torture.
But talk. You can say anything you want, because I've heard it all before. All you can do is pray for a quick death. Which you ain't gonna get. You ain't gonna get it.
Tryptamine. 4-phosphorylated. Indole.
Sure, they felt it was safe enough, and when the New Deal came, then the pyramid and all CNI was revealed to the public.
But I'm making my way through the unknown, and all of a sudden over there, under that big willow, sitting my higher self, and there's the team. They've gathered there. Not in the underworld, not on the causal plane, but here in the unknown, or here in chaos, or... And I will go work with them. Now, I can use the seven eyes, but that's not the only way I can work with them. I can, once there, see this doorway once again. The very doorway that I used to access, I can see it again and open that door and allow my unconscious into my focal point, into the grove, etc.
Choice is the domain of the conscious mind. Your unconscious mind does not make a choice. No, it does not. Even if you choose to think it does, that's your choice, not its. Your subconscious does not make choice. Your conscious makes the choice. That's where choice resides consciously. You see, there is this intricate balance of power. Your unconscious mind is the most powerful, but it doesn't choose. Your conscious mind is where choice resides, and though powerful, it is not as powerful. The power rests here, and the choice rests there, and in between the subconscious mediates. If you can take choice and add consciousness to it, add being conscious to it, you unravel the greatest secret of success. Bar none. If you can take choice in the field of play of your conscious self into the realm of your unconscious, where the power is, you can combine your power, unconscious, and your choice, conscious, and you create a force that is immeasurable. You create a force that is unstoppable. And you can harness the power of your unconscious mind.
Self-consciousness and awkwardness and uneasiness
come as the result of knowing that with each photograph, you will be recorded forever.
I know it!
Police, Dan! You're in charge!
What the hell's the matter with you, Charles? Those men should be reinforced immediately! Now what the hell are they doing? I can see them through my glasses. They're just lying there behind that ledge. They should be up and out, cleaning out those machine guns. Over.
I don't think you understand what's going on down here, sir. We've had, heavy casualties. We had a man, his gut got shot out on the slope, sir. Created quite an upset.
Fine, fine. Now what about those reinforcements? Over.
I have, two squads to, first platoon I can send up, sir. Over.
What the hell do you mean, two squads? God damn you, sir!
body.
You first platoon two. I see him lying down there in the fat ass doing nothing. You get a man to him right now with orders to attack. And you move him by the flank to the ridge. Then you get that second platoon. You move him over to the hill. Have him press the center. Go straight up that goddamn hill. You attack them right now. Do I have to give you a tense on nothing? What is it?
Colonel, I don't think that you fully understand what is going on down here. My company alone cannot take that position, sir. The Japs are too well dug in. They've got too much firepower. Colonel, there's a bunker up there. We can't see it, and it's chewing my men to pieces, sir.
He's calling me a motherfucker, saying he's gonna blow me away, and blah, 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 blah.
He's the reason the joint turned into a shooting spree.
What are you, a fucking silent partner? Tell him!
He went crazy in the store, but he seems all right now.
This is what he was doing. Bam! 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 Bam!
Yeah, bam, 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 bam. I told them not to touch the fucking alarm. They did. If they hadn't have done what I told them not to do, they'd still be alive.
The widow Fogliani, otherwise known as Belladonna, the Italian lady of American distraction, the widow Fogliani was a merry old soul. She had whiskers on her soul, and her soul was a pussy. But she had a hard coming of it. That time I beat her at her own game, which was painting mustaches on statues in the Borghese Gardens at 3 a.m, and nobody the wiser if ever she gave some stray Cellini a free Christmas goose. 15. What could she say to the fantastic Fooly Bear? And what could she say to Brother? And what could she say to the cat with future feet? And what could she say to Mother? After that time that she lay lush among the lolly flowers on that hot river bank where ferns fell away in the broken air of the breath of her lover, and birds went mad and threw themselves from trees to taste still hot upon the ground the spilled sperm seed.
Winner of 3 tall Pulitzer Prizes, he may be the most popular of serious writers for Broadway and off-Broadway.
She's coming towards the end of her life, and she's fighting. She's fighting for everything. She must be the center of attention till that light goes out, till the last moment of her life comes, whenever it's going to come. So she's like this wild warrior, clothed and dressed as a rich Connecticut matron, with all the apparent niceties of life, too.
The Japs are too well dug in. They've got too much firepower. Colonel, there's a bunker up there. We can't see it, and it's chewing my men to pieces, sir.
My fucking hero. Thanks. That's your excuse for going on a kill crazy rampage.
I don't like alarms, Mr. White.
What does it matter who stays with the cops? We ain't letting him go, not after we've seen everybody.
Man!
You guys should never have taken him out of the truck in the first place.
Trap, I never knew about the setup.
There is no fucking trap! Now here's the news. Blum, you stay here and take care of these two. Wayne Pink, you come with me, because if Joe gets here and he sees all these cars parked outside, I swear to you he's going to be just as mad at me as he is at you. Let's go.
Thank you.
think I'm parked in the red zone. Now, where were we?
I told you I don't know anything about any fucking setup. I've been on the force for only 8 months. They don't tell me anything. Nobody tells me shit.
The format agreed to by the two campaigns is as follows. There will be no opening statements. Questions will be addressed to each of the candidates in alternating order. The candidate to whom the question is addressed will have 2.5 minutes to answer. The other candidate will then have 1 minute to reply, and the first candidate will then have another 30 seconds for a final comment on that question. After the allotted time for questions, each candidate will make a final statement of 3 minutes. Mr. on that question. After the allotted time for questions, each candidate will make a final statement of 3 minutes. And the first candidate will then have another 30 seconds for a final comment on that question. After the allotted time for questions, each candidate will make a final statement of 3 minutes. Mr. Weldy won the drawing of lots. After the allotted time for questions, each candidate will make a final statement of 3 minutes. Mr. Weldy won the drawing of lots. The format agreed to by the two campaigns is as follows. There will be no opening statements. Questions will be addressed to each of the candidates in alternating order. There will be no opening statements. Questions will be addressed to each of the candidates in alternating order. And the first candidate will then have another 30 seconds for a final comment on that.
Dixie? Yeah, the flatline said. I see it. Don't know if I believe it. A brownish dot, a dull gnat against the green wall of the TA cores. It began to advance across the bridge built by Quang Grade Mark 11, and Case saw that it was walking. As it came, the green section of the arch extended, the polychrome of the virus program rolling back, a few steps ahead of the cracked black shoes.
25 gigabytes on a removable disk. And due to a characteristic of holography, data will be accessible in million-bit chunks at speeds 25 times faster than current DVD drives. CD-ROM-sized holographic disks where data isn't stored only on its surface, but entirely throughout the transparent medium.
Maybe that's what they're working on down here at the Chaos Ranch. The Z House out of Newton. Friendly neighborhood radio. Mom and Pop and a couple of out-of-wedlock bastards and bitches and whatnot. Full family gathering, eagerly awaiting the holiday season. Here in the tri-state corner of the great American landmass. Out of Newton right now. American people like it if things come from one place at a time. Even if it's a complete hallucination. A mainstay of this corner of the universes. Without it, chaos. And chaos only. And you know what that means. I don't have to tell you. Just do the math for me. I could do the math myself. I'm ambi scholarly. I can go left. I can go right. With either hand.
Four phosphorylated. Indole.
And slam dunk that son of a gun. Even when it counts. I'm Gary Geiserman. And I have the mic. Even though it's a complete holographic illusion. And that's the kind of programming that he deserve here in the United States. Where the best lie is fully attended by the truth, with a bodyguard of lies, like a jewel setting. A better story couldn't have been had by all, even if countless forgotten souls helped to create it. Many of them only half human. Half animal, perhaps. Back when the world was young, even though it never happened, or is happening now, time-space makes poets of us all. We'll have days like that again here in America. Oh yeah. Already been decided by you. And isn't that what the best programming is after all? Telling you what you already did. Not so you'll remember it better, like review, however, semicolon. But the better for forgetting. Ada Newton again, but not again and again, because then it wouldn't be that way. We'd be getting awfully close to the black hole of our fabric. Built-in trapdoors, one of the more colorful paradoxes written into the code, but yet held invisible. All these years, going way back to the 50s, that magical decade, it just has to work. Productivity, I think it says, on those written, read commercial scripts. And not only is it good, which of course means right, and reality will be bestowed on that righteous dude or woman, it will be avowed to be real. Because we can. In other countries, it's more complicated. We have the true spirit of the Betamax here, and the four-track. And don't you forget it.
Gigabytes on a removable disk. And due to a characteristic of holography, data will be accessible in million bit chunks at speeds 25 times faster than current DVD drives. According to Bell Labs' Alistair Glass, quote, "With this capacity, the information in a typical large university library could be stored on about 10 holographic disks. Future generations of devices are expected to store around a terabyte on a single disk, with about 150 times the transfer rate of current DVDs. unquote.
Physicists now speculate that it's unlikely these things fly vast distances from other solar systems, but that they come from a place that's much closer and farther away.
A woman who's like King Lear. I mean, Lear has everything and nothing. Edward would be shocked if he heard an actress say this, but I think Edward's plays are on the level of Greek tragedies. I think Virginia Woolf just tears open the idea of what a marriage can be. I think A Delicate Balance says, look at how we treat our neighbors, look at how we treat our friends. And this play says, look at aging, look at dying, look at life. Open your eyes, listen, look. Don't turn away.
For the living of life and for the working of magic extraordinaire. To achieve that, to accomplish that, it is important to lay the foundation. To lay the foundation by developing the expertise of access. Developing your expertise of access. Now, those of you who have worked with us over a period of time, certainly so, have developed a certain level of expertise, have explored certain ways in which to engage your unconscious, and you have worked with your unconscious, certainly so, even though it's unconscious, you have nonetheless worked with it. In order to harness the power of your unconscious, it's important to begin by sharpening, by honing your means, your methods of access. For many of you, those means and methods already exist. That's neat. You don't have to learn something new. You need to sharpen what you already know. Now, what we want to suggest are four different categories, four different approaches. First of all, of course, you can engage your unconscious in the underworld. They are not the same, mind you. The underworld is that resonance, remember? That resonance where the unconscious becomes conscious before filtering through the subconscious it expresses itself in your world. It is not that the underworld and the unconscious are the same thing. No. It is a realm, the underworld, where you can encounter, where you can engage, where you can work with your unconscious, even though it's unconscious, where you can work with the realities before they emerge in what you call, in your reality, in your conscious world. Accessing the underworld. We have talked over the years of many different approaches. Four of them are at the root. Some of you remember years and years ago, we don't use this approach very often anymore, years and years ago, where you would go into your safe place before the day was born, before the rise of sun, before the dawn, and you would face to the east, and facing the east you'd wait for that sliver of crimson light and the rise of sun through the blood-red crimson. Then you would turn to the south, turning 90 degrees to the south, and lie back in the morning, and let the sun reach the zenith of her day. And through the close of lid, through the pink, the blood red, the crimson, through the lid of the sunlight, to sense that zenith of the day. Then you would turn another 90 degrees to face to the west. And as the sun would move from south to west into the western sky, setting the sun, as the sun would slip what appears to be into the earth, you know better than that scientifically, but nonetheless esoterically, poetically, a crimson light and the sun slips into the earth. Crimson light, the sun rises out of the earth, dawn. Crimson light in the eyes, through the lids. Crimson light in the set of sun. And then you would turn to the north, that direction where sun nor moon do travel. And you would walk into the north, into the bitter cold. That was one way, the ritual of four directions that could lead you into the underworld, where in that night, in that dead of night, in that cold, bitter, cold north, frozen, you would come upon again a crimson of light, and thus to enter and make your way. The other technique, as we've talked of it, and the one that we do use so frequently, is dying to your conscious thought and feeling. Not literally dying to the body, metaphorically. Dying to your conscious thought, dying to your conscious feeling. In a sense, what that means is dying to your conscious mind. Where you would go into your safe place and you'd lie down, a good day to die, you'd lie down. And as you would relax and with the exhaling of breath, letting go of the thoughts. Perhaps beginning with negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, anxiety thoughts, constricting thoughts, letting them go. And letting go of negative feelings. But also letting go of the positive thoughts and the positive feelings, for they also, despite being positive, are part of the conscious mind. And to die to the conscious mind, you need to die to your conscious thinking, to your conscious feeling, to your brain, to your heart. Because you see, all negativity comes out of the conscious thought and feeling. Not out of every conscious thought or every conscious feeling, that's so. But negativity is not inherent in a thing. It is inherent in the thoughts and feelings that are conscious. And so you die to your conscious thoughts. You die to your conscious feelings, even the good ones, even the positive ones, even the expansive ones, for they are tainted, they are colored, they are polluted. You die. And in that dying, you see a brilliant light, white light, a sphere, and you lift the light body out through the white light across the land of the dead, not unlike the cold, bitter north, the land of the dead where nary a blade of grass nor leaf doth grow, where the earth is like charcoal, the trees nothing more than twisted, gnarled carbon. Without thought, without feeling, you cross the... Oh, crossing the land of the dead is good to be... No, it's not scary. It's not sad. It's not depressing. You have no thought. You have no feeling. Remember, they died. You left them behind. So you cross the land of the dead looking for a crimson light, not knowing why, nor caring to know. And you see the blood-red crimson. And you enter the crimson into a cave. And there a corridor leads you deep into the earth, deep into the very bowels, deep into the very womb of earth herself. And there a door through which you pass into the underworld. From the outer world to the inner world to the underworld. And there the ribbon of road and the day, like a watercolor painted, unfolds. And travelling that ribbon of road, this is the second way to enter the underworld.
You know, the course of only 8 months, they don't tell me anything. Nobody tells me shit. You can torture me all you want.
Torture you, That's a good idea. I like that one. Yeah.
Even your boss said there wasn't a setup.
My what?
Your boss.
Excuse me, pal. One thing I want to make clear to you. I don't have a boss. Nobody tells me what to do. You understand? You hear what I said, you son of a bitch?
All right. You don't have a boss. All right.
They're too well dug in. They've got too much firepower. Colonel, there's a bunker up there. We can't see it, and it's chewing my men to pieces, sir. I formally request to be given permission for patrol reconnaissance around to the right of Pilkington Camp through the jungle. I believe the entire position, sir, can be outflanked with a maneuver there in force.
No! God damn it, I tell you no! There'll be no flanking move. Now listen to me, Starro. You're not going to take your man around into the jungle to avoid a goddamn fight. Now, do you hear me, Starros? I want you to attack. I want you to attack right now with every man at your disposal. Now attack, Starros. That's a direct order.
Pictures were taken, there was no sense of that period being better than any other. On the contrary, people looked back nostalgically to an earlier time. Other people see you more clearly than you see yourself.
A metaphysics lesson here at WZBC 90.3 FM in Newton. My name's Gary, and I'll be guiding you the next 4 hours as we retrain our software for new metaphysics. Currently listening to Cluster from the album Cluster 2, 1972 issue, Metronome Music, West Germany. This is Live in der Fabrik. Talk to him a little bit.
Life. Unfortunately, it also brings everything. Death. Childhood pictures are often the best photos we take because we were less anxious and self-conscious then. Childhood pictures are often the best photos we take because we were less anxious and self-conscious then, and we weren't aware of all the things we now worry about. And you can see that in people's eyes when they're young and innocent.
From a place that's much closer and farther away.
Thank you.
said, when the short, rumpled figure of the Finn seemed to stand a few meters away. I never seen anything this funny when I was alive. I never tried it before, the Finn said, showing his teeth, his hands bunched in the pockets of his frayed jacket. You killed Armitage, Case said. Corto, yeah, Armitage was already gone.
Third approach that we have talked of, that you have worked with, many of you, is what we call the ritual of encounters. Now, this is a meditative approach that we first delineated when we spoke of the magician's lair. But it is a meditative approach where, from your safety, you travel beyond its bounds, and you come to a courtyard or a commons within a village or within a small community. And there upon the ground is a circular door, like a cistern cover, a cover to a well. It is round, it is sitting on top of, and you sit by it. And you wait for this door to open, this hole that becomes two, the one that becomes two, and opens. When it opens, those of you who have experienced the meditation, you notice that there are spiral stairs descending. Maybe they're cut of the earth or of the stone. Maybe they're built of wood, rickety, they may seem. There's a banister made of rope. Red rope, black rope, white rope, twined, woven together to create a banister. And you make your way down the stairs, spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper, holding the banister as you make your way. And at the bottom of the stair, you encounter a fire. They encounter the ritual of encounters. You encounter a fire, and you sit by that fire. And perhaps it'll speak to you. Maybe it won't. If it does, you listen to what the fire says. If it does not speak, you move on. Either way, you will move on to a river. Underground river. The water is black. And oh, is it cold. Oh, is it cold. Cold. As you step into it, oh my. But you cross the river to the far side. Now the river may be shallow, only ankle deep, or knee deep. Or you may step and all of a sudden it plunges down and you are immersed in this ice cold, cold, dark water. But in the river, however shallow, however deep, however cold it may be, you listen, for it may speak. Or it may not. On the far side of the river, drying off in your shiver to the very bone, dressing yourself with the clothes that wait for you, you will encounter an opening, a crack in the rock with stairs.
This is Black House from Nightmare Lodge. The Gospel According to the Men in Black. Lindsay Cooper was before that from Rags, Prostitution Song. And Tim Leary, Meeting the Grid from that album, we heard Side One. Just before that, a phenomenal piece from Raphael Mostel, the Tibetan Singing Bowl Ensemble. These bowls that you stroke with a wooden mallet, kind of like crystalware. They emote these series of overtones and various intersections of sounds. It's from the album Night Songs. We heard Jacob's Ladder Number 1. And of course, Cluster started us off here on New Metaphysics. My name is Gary. I'll be teaching you metaphysics until 2 a.m. or so. Rewire your software for the next millennium. All right, I'll recede and reemerge later on. No man is unborn. 12 here. WZBC. This is Claude Parmigiani, Dedan Dehors, with the selection Pour Enfant Le Pouvoir d'Orphée. This is New Metaphysics. My name's Gary. Just finished with Carl Weingarten. The album Submerging is the first of three that follow a theme. We heard Layers in Sequence. This is one of my favorites. This is No Commercial Potential. And I'll get back to you later.
Guardian, someone there, guarding this doorway, guarding this crack, this crevice, and to what lies beyond. And you must encounter not only the fire, not only the water, but the earth of the guardian, or the airs, rather. It is thus the airs of the guardian, but before you enter jazz. Through this crack, the this crevice in earth, into the secret room, R-O-O-M, or perhaps it is a secret womb, W-O-M-B.
Was walking down past a men's clothing store on 42nd Street of South Main in L.A., and from the loudspeaker they suddenly heard a wild, impossible mistake in jazz that could only have been heard inside their own imaginary head, and that is a new art, bop. The name derives from an accident. America was named after an Italian explorer, not after an Indian king. Lionel Hampton had made a record called Hey Bob, Rebop, and everybody yelled it, and it was when Lionel would jump in the audience and wail his saxophone at everybody with sweat claps, jumping fools in the aisles, the drummer vastly booming and belaboring on the stage as the whole theater rocked. Sung by Helen Humes, Hey Jim, and the stud comes swinging down the street and says he's real bent, and he is down, and he has a twisted face. He works, he wails, he bops, he bangs. This man who was sent, stoned, and stabbed is now down, bent, and stretched out. He is home at last. His music is here to say. His history has washed over us. His imperialistic kingdoms are coming. Flower
ago. Introduction to the Electron. Domestic version, not the super secret, deep underground, 10 years ahead of commercial release, probably driven by an erect penile organ for deviated purposes. But the home model, mom and pop, however subterfuged, and having the media itself intermediated by the current version. Just looking back here, many life or death mornings ago. That was Thelonious Monk from Solo Monk on Verve. These Foolish Things. following Jack Kerouac.
Talking to an empty room.
Talking history about.
Into an electronic.
No commercial potential on WZBC.
Penis.
Coming to you from Newton, Massachusetts, in the sub basement of the Student Center.
Alone.
90.3 on your FM dial.
Taped.
In the middle of our metaphysics lesson here on New Metaphysics.
Retrapped. To electromagnetic.
Sitting in the front row over here is.
Vagina.
David Berman. Fooling around with his album On the Other Ocean. It's a piece called Figure in a Clearing. Further instructions will follow later.
And yes, I did do it. Not the 10,000 mile club. I mean the mile high club, no. The on the air club. I had to. I'm a Jew. I'm on the electronic Aeroflot media. Following in the contrails of Duchamp and Glenn Gould, WZBC in Newton, out of Newton. 8 years to get that word down. Everybody's a media star. Even if the star is blue around here.
And beyond it, the unconscious, the underworld. A third approach that can take you to Magician's Lair, but can take you to the underworld. As you encounter the fire, the water, the air, and the earth, each of them revealing or not their secrets. And from the secret room, to enter the underworld beyond its bound. A fourth approach to the underworld that we have worked with, or some of you have worked with, maybe not fully realizing what you were doing.
We just heard from John Waterman before that. From Illusions of Infinite Bliss, we heard Misplaced Skin Grafts, number one. This is no commercial potential. 90.3 FM here in Newton. It's about a quarter to two. Stay warm.
Put down by absolute authority and imminent defeat, I exited the game on a regular basis until it became part of the Constitution of the United States, writ in stone like the first supposed communications of our civilization. Developed the sweet sweetness of not delayed gratification, but forever. A disappointment has a sweetness.
Metaphysics comes to a close with Air of Gloom doing meditation off the 45. Just prior to that, Rubicon by Tangerine Dream, we heard part two of part two. Okay, until next time, have a good night. The genius girl with average name.
Had to do it. I know, you want to get the enzyme. Okay, no sweat. I was the one gave it to Armitage in the first place.
What we call the sunrise in the midbrain is a technique where you go into meditation, remember, and you draw your consciousness up. You draw it up from your toes to your feet, through your legs. You draw it up through your body, into your torso, up through your fingers, your hands, drawing it up, not reducing it, but condensing it until now this singularity of consciousness rises through your throat, into your brain, to the forward part of your brain. And there you condense it and you condense it. It doesn't get weaker, it gets more intense as you condense it until it is no more than the size of a walnut, no more than that of a pea, no more than that of a speck, until it gets so very small that it vanishes. And you find yourself standing in the dark and you turn around 180 degrees. Rather than facing forward, you're now facing back. And there are two slick walls on either side, so slick you could not climb them, no finger grips, no toe grips, slippery, almost wet, like glistening. A narrow corridor, and at the end an eerie but present light. You make your way through the corridor, feeling your way. Coming closer and closer to the light, and you come to a pre-dawn where there is a pool. Then on the far side the sun begins to rise. Sunrise in the midbrain, because as you've condensed your consciousness until it disappears. Out of body you turn around and you are walking between the two hemispheres of your brain into the midbrain, into the third ventricle within the midbrain, that pool. And on the other side, in the imagery, in the metaphor, in the picture you present to your subconscious and unconscious, a sunrise. And as you go into the pool and beyond it, the underworld. Four distinct ways. Some of you will have an affinity for one over another. And thus to develop your expertise, to hone and sharpen your skill, to enter the underworld one way, to interact, to begin to lay the foundation, to harness the power of your unconscious, not just to engage it, but to harness it. The second arena is working with the causal plane. Yes, the causal plane is also access to your unconscious. It is not the underworld. It is the causal plane, where all causes and effects are waiting to be married, are waiting to be linked up, are waiting for you to put them together so that they might become heavy enough to manifest within your illusion. And indeed, that's where all causes and effects, indeed, the causal plane, as you can go to that causal plane, so you can engage your unconscious, so you can then harness its power. But first you have to engage it. If not in underworld, then in causal plane. Now, we have talked primarily of two approaches to the causal plane. Years ago, and there are audio and videotapes on the subject as well, many of you familiar with one of the approaches, which is to travel through the hole, the rip, or the tear in time, the tear in space. It's a meditation where from your safe place you find an entry into the earth, but not this time to go to the underworld. You find an entry. Maybe it's a hollow of a tree. Maybe it's a goddess well. Maybe it's a crack or crevice. Maybe it's a hidden valley or a secret passageway within a mountain. And you enter the earth. And you come upon, remember, you come upon an unseemly one. Oh, a terrible, terrible person. Oh, or a gremlin or a troll or some sort of creature that is just
doctor. They may have a stench that just curls your nose, causes your toenails to drop off, whatever in that thing. They're grubby, they're grimy, they're the lowest of the low. And you create this, you allow this. It is a symbol, it is a metaphor, it is a symbol, it is a ritual of humility. Where in that particular God I do not judge this one, for this is the one who can help me. And this one I encounter, this terrible, disgusting person or creature, I will ask, how do I find the hole? How do I find the rip, the tear in time and space? And they may tell you where to go. You go down here, turn left there, go right there. Or they may guide you. But either way, this one, who would otherwise be dismissed as a nothing, is the one who can guide you to the cause of pain. Symbol of that humility. To let each moment be new. You find the rip, the tear. It may be a slit on the tooth flapping back and forth. It may be a three-cornered tear. And you're curious about it. And you're drawn closer to it. You kind of want to look into that. And at a certain point you get close. You are sucked right in. Sucked right in. And you begin to fall. Many of you remember the experience. You maybe haven't done the meditation in a long time. But you begin to fall. And the key here is in the falling. Is to you need to feel emotional intensity. And it just so happens that in your world it is easier to feel fear intensely than it is to feel love intensely. Sad, but too often true. And therefore, not to judge that, but to use that. When you're falling, you imagine the worst possible fear at the bottom of this pit. You know, there are rats that haven't eaten in years. And as you're falling, you can hear them squeaking in anticipation of devouring you. There are snakes that won't just bite you, but will eat you alive. There are these bugs that will crawl in your ear and eat your brain. There are bungee sticks upon which you will fall and writhe for weeks as you slowly bleed to death. There are fish with teeth. There are whatever is the most skin-crawling kind of, and you're falling and you're falling and you're imagining this fear and you're feeling this fear and you're waiting for any moment something's going to stop all this, but oh my gosh, maybe not. And then just at this proper moment, all of a sudden in the intensity of the fear, you spread your arms and you soar like an eagle proud. You soar on the intensity of emotion. Just happens to be fear. Doesn't matter. It's energy. It's fuel. And as you lift your arms and soar, right up, past the sun, the moon, the stars, past the astral plane, and then you burst upon the causal plane. Supporting you burst upon the causal plane. Now, if you can feel love with the same kind of intensity or more, then grand. You feel the love, you feel the love, you feel the love, and likewise, it's on the energy of intensity that you soar, that catapults you.
Everybody just got to keep fucking everybody till they're all the same color.
For download into simulation. Program link ready for download.
This is Grierson 117 West Winston, Pasadena.
Complete.
clear.
Excuse me?
You owe me $12.05.
Listen, young man. I do not have all day.
Ferguson.
Deep breaths. Feel yourself relax. Do this breathing exercise 5 times.
The format agreed to by the two campaigns is as follows. There will be no opening statements. Questions will be addressed to each of the candidates in alternating order. The candidate to whom the question is addressed will have 2.5 minutes to answer. The other candidate will then have 1 minute to reply, and the first candidate will then have another 30 seconds for a final comment on that question. After the allotted time for questions, each candidate will make a final statement of 3 minutes. Mr. Weldy won the drawing of lots. He's elected to make his closing statement.
Yo, I was just supposed to set the guy up, not do the shit myself. Now I can't even get Vinny on a damn phone.
The first question will be from Jan Carl and is for Senator Bulworth.
Senator Bulworth, the news today requires us to ask you about this sudden change in your campaign style.
Come on.
Could you explain it?
Why are you here?
Let's admit it. You're here because you're making a bundle, right?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, you mean you're not here because you're getting paid a bundle of money. Come on.
We got 3 pretty rich guys here getting paid by some really rich guys to ask a couple of other rich guys questions about their campaign. But our campaigns are financed by the same guys that pay you guys your money. So, I mean, what are we talking about?
I'm bringing the man down there. If they don't like
anyway,
it, they can kiss my ass.
I could tell you stories about getting money from these guys that would pin your ears back. You have stories about me. I mean, I don't know about Hugh. Do you have that? I tell you, we got a club.
Something hot.
Right? Republicans, Democrats, what's the difference? You know, your guys, my guys, our guys, us guys.
Man.
It's a club. So why don't we just have a drink? You? No?
You know, Hugh, if you win this thing, you really got to think about where you're going to put your kids in school. We put our daughter in Sidwell Friends with Clinton's. The Gores really like St. Albans. But a public school anywhere around Washington's a disaster.
Excuse me, Senator. If you don't mind, at the moment, I think we're here to ask about the news of your campaign.
News? What are you talking about, the news?
Come on, the guys you and I get our money from, they don't want the people to have the news. They want you to think that corporations are more efficient than government, right? You want to know why the healthcare industry is the most profitable business in the United States? Because the insurance companies take 24 cents out of every dollar that's spent. You know what it takes the government to do the same thing for Medicare? 3 cents out of every dollar. Now, what is all this crap they hand you about business being more efficient?
What the hell is going on here?
Profit? These guys need to be regulated.
What, do you think these pigs are going to regulate themselves?
What's going on?
Gentlemen, if you'll please pardon the interruption, it seems as if we're experiencing some technical difficulties here.
Hey, you, what's up? What's happening, baby? Huh?
Senator, Mr. Weldy, I'm sorry to say, but we're going to have to cancel this for today. They don't want to bump Jerry Springer.
Huh.
I'm sorry, folks.
Okay.
That will be it.
If they hadn't have done what I told them not to do, they'd still be alive.
I was asleep.
Hands on your head!
Sorry, I don't have an equalizer or other fancy audio processing equipment to make the whip sounds better.
No idea what they were getting themselves into.
Get it up higher in the,
into the camera.
2 to 4,000,
Laura, Elena.
Kilohertz range. With
just
a little, spice added around 250 hertz. Bring the timber out of the bass sounds to augment those high-pitched snapping sounds.
Make sure the camera goes with you. Hands on your head. Hands on your head!
Really a turn-on for some. Would be more of a turn-on for a lot more if... Oh, well.
Make sure the camera goes with you. Hands on your head.
Dream,
hands on your
head. And bondage, that's going to become bigger, I predict. Not just because of the internet. And pornography pushing the media envelope as usual in the new technologies. But I think that the undressing of the modern already being dressed psyche will allow for strange underbedlings to stick their little pinheaded heads out from under the blankie. I live for it. I've secretly devoted my life to such things. And man, I'm glad I did. I love it.
I guess I'm kind of perturbed. I don't have this click with you.
Adam Newton. Family programming. Kind of on par with the Disney Channel. One of the six major players today in the, I guess we'd say, the subconscious intermediation of signal line. And that signal line is exponentially increasing moment to moment on the face of the waters. I have this from on high, so don't F with me. This is my show. And that signal line is carrying a lot of intelligence embedded in it. So all you have to do is hear it, or at least listen to it, and you have to do that, because this is human earth experience, time-space version, and you have opened yourself up for the experience already. I'm just an occasional moderator.
There may not be just one universe. Did you know that mathematicians now theorize that there could be multiverses, other dimensions that coexist with our own, and that these beings have the technology to somehow just slip in and out? Another alien visitor claimed that his race had been looking in on us for centuries and that they had in fact influenced the course of human history in some rather critical and startling ways. This visitor somehow displayed the way aliens have been genetically altering the development of our DNA from our very beginnings and that they had inspired our greatest spiritual leaders.
You're telling me that the missing link could be the result of alien genetics?
I believe this information is correct, but who can really say for certain?
Over the years, there must be people like me, people who've wanted to talk about what they know.
I'm sure there were some, but then it's also hard to believe, isn't it? I think that Secretary Forrest tried, or may have, I'm not sure. While he was at Bethesda, he was working on a diary that was said to contain an account of his experiences with alien life forms and proof that the government was trying to keep all this information covered up. Apparently, he had checked into the hospital for overexhaustion and stress. I'm sure that you personally can sympathize with how difficult it would have been for him to reveal all these secrets. If Secretary Forrestal left any kind of note, it was never found, and his diaries are still classified. Since then, things have gotten even more bizarre. Planes vanishing, cattle mutilations, human abductions. And then there are the stories of Area 51.
What is Area 51?
That's where people swear they've actually seen recovered alien craft. And we're working with them right now.
How long have we had this, Colonel? Well, that depends on who you talk to. The top part is anti-gravitation.
Is this all true?
Well, that's a good question. One must proceed cautiously here, on guard against one's desire to want it to be true or want it not to be true. One must be, as much as possible, neutral.
Well, how can you be neutral? A thing is either true or it's not. There is no middle ground.
All right, all right. Then none of it is true.
None of it?
Well, maybe some of it.
No. Now you're playing with me. Why are you playing with me?
Because maybe you wouldn't even know what was true if you'd seen it all for yourself. How's that for an answer?
All right, then what did I see out there in that field?
Oh, that. Why, that was a weather balloon.
No, it wasn't. I know what I saw, and it was not...
Frightened by the sound of my own voice and by the sound of birds singing on hot wires, in Sunday sleep I see myself slaying sundry sinners and turkeys, loud dogs with sharp dead dugs, and black knights in iron suits with Brooks labels and Yale locks upon the pants. Yes, and with penis erectus for spear, I slay all old ladies, making them young again, with a touch of my sweet swaying sword, retrieving them their maidenhoods and heads. Ah, yes, in flattering falsehoods of sleep, we come, we conquer all, but all the while, real standard time ticks on. And new bottle babies with real teeth devour our fantastic fictioned future.
By the grace of God, you'll be saved.
But what if I lead a good life? Does it still matter if I don't believe?
Do you really lead a good life?
No.
You have to believe. If you don't, you go to hell.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
I used to think that, but then I met him.
Who?
That's what we're trying to tell you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
To avoid a God
disposal. Now attack, Staros! That's a direct order!
Sir, I must tell you that I refuse to obey your order.
It's not your fault, Jim. He's ordering you to.
I again request permission for patrol reconnaissance around to the right in force. The time, sir, is 13:21 hours, 25 seconds. I've got two witnesses here listening to what I've said. I request that you do the same with witnesses there. Over.
Now that apron of Marquess de Lafayette to Washington can be found at the George Washington Masonic Memorial, a huge building in Alexandria, Virginia, which is just across from Washington, D.C. National Airport. Every floor is an honor to a level of masonry. The Medinas, the 32nd degree Shriners, the Grottoes, the Knights of Templar, each one of them have a floor and a full. This building is huge. When you get up on it, it's on King Street, next to Queen Street. But the important thing is you come there, we'll go there, because you need to see it. You, Moses at the burner, they got all kind of shit in there. But the important thing is that the whites are waiting till they can defeat the original people and claim the esoteric symbolism as their own. These are the most inferior people on the planet, having specific goals to verify their coming out of darkness into light.
The moment you shift how you think about yourself and your circumstances, both you and those circumstances will begin to change.
So go to freaking confession.
I got a short to do, Helen.
Hello, this is Dane Spots. I'm sure you've heard of the idea that our thoughts somehow shape the reality we experience, that negative thoughts influence the world around us and bring about negative circumstances, while positive thoughts somehow bring about positive experiences.
From a place that's much closer and farther away.
Nude Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman nude. In the studio. I'm glad you can't see this, because I'm not at my best. And that's just not good enough in the face of our Lord, who I tried to please as a young lad. And of course, couldn't do it. That was just one chapter in the book there. One of the 9 basic plot lines for personality development. Adam Newton, the Gary Geiserman, New Metaphysics. Time on the air. Fight Club, a good film. It's not about fighting, it's about kissing and making up, I think. Couldn't have written a better screenplay myself. Graphic user interface creeps up on the populace, like the great waters in the last axis shift some thousands of years ago. The real digital disturbance is creeping along parallel, and I mean genetics, friends. That's the human hand on the red button. like in the dead zone. And it's a true signal that we're turning the corner on this one. True drama in the sky for us by you, and not, as they say in poker, by me. Blank in the edit there. You know what that means. Since we're relying on classic media protocols now, as we shift tape on the human data in, data out experience, so to see in the mirror of the United States of America, the shining true image, continually denied, like in LA, the single holographic universal image of the greater holographic human image of the United States. And that's the cross to bear for the Angelinos. A good place not to be if you want to make love to yourself. Adam Newton. .90.3 calibrate. Oh, what's going to happen soon? What's happening now? Gearing up for the big one. Corporate capitalism, uber alles, big time. Middle executives everywhere. Everywhere in our minds. Fast food corporatized just the way you want it. Like media protocol. Edit, segue, and bring the pod up. Editing human conscious experience and aware of it. To be learned from, reflected upon, and applied. Like the recursive world that's producing it yet again. An exciting drama, high emotions verging to melodrama and beyond, avoiding histrionics though. Get ready for the quick edits though. They have been typed in to the script in the next act. Now, you know how something is laid out linearly. It's a refractory interpretation of the more real thing. The full-bodied, multidimensional, surrational thing. Emulating the in-between mediation experience that allows for the whole thing. Copying, copying, copying. Ask anybody in any walk of life. They've seen it and they've forgotten it. Or should I say, gotten used to it, homeostasis-wise. I think humanity is falling out of love with the straight line and in love, like the second marriage. The change state. Everything, beginnings and endings, pretty much deleting the middle, the plot. I don't need no stinking plot, gringo. That's in the new movie. Now, the obvious plot line of Fight Club is a moderately old story, but the form of Fight Club, that which actually creates the form, I should say, that's new. So take the obvious plot line, which you'll find out near the end. Backtrack one world to the obvious form, which was up front and very cool. And then back up one more, you know, backspace. Page back to the structure of the form of the storyline, which you'll be getting throughout. It's very generous. Kind of like the state of the fallen male today, who will fuck anything and be damn proud.
My wife, it's pretty real.
Then none of it is true.
None of it?
Well, maybe some of it.
No. Now you're playing with me. Why are you playing with me?
Human abductions. And then there are the stories of Area 51.
According to the August 11th Electronic Buyers News, brought to our attention by reader Alan Maltzman, Lucent expects a joint development agreement with Imation to yield a commercial product within 2 years.
That's what we're trying to tell you.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
And May 18th of 1980, the little sister spoke. And 67 people who didn't believe the Indian prophecy are buried beneath it. And the little sister, when it erupted, it took a cubic mile of mountain with it.
From a place that's much closer and farther away.
Here's the headline, folks. This is the only four-phosphorylated indo on this planet. On this planet. Is 4-phosphoryloxy. NN-dimethyltryptamine.
Get the fucking shit. Look, I'm not gonna bullshit you, okay? I don't really give a good fuck what you know or don't know. But I'm going to torture you anyway.
Well, an entire industry for motivational speakers has been created around this premise.
Much closer and farther away. Much closer and farther away.
Almost all of us have been exposed to the tenets of positive thinking.
4-phosphorylated indo.
Obviously one of the dominant plays in the NBA. There are many different ways to defend it. We try to base it on the other team's personnel and their weaknesses, the way we will guard it. Now we'll take you through the number of different ways we defend the pick and roll. First, if this man is a great shooter, the one thing we will do is trap it and take him out of the play. When you have a dominant point guard, you want to take him out of the pick and roll. Now as the screen is set, we do a couple of different things. First and foremost, Ron must get into this guy and force him this way. As Greg, we call this a blitz. Greg cannot let Dana come to his body. So right now, as we're getting through it, Greg will blitz it and go to him tall. They will come together. And the rule is that we must go to Dana's body. He can't come to our body. Obviously, we would rotate to the roll man. All right, come on back. Now we're playing with a weak shooting point guard. Not too many of them in the NBA, but there are some. So we will hedge out this way, almost as if he was setting a double screen. Ron will then go under. He will go underneath the screen and meet him over top. He will stay on the high side of the roll man. That's called hedging out and going under. Next one. Now we're playing against a team that has a good shooter as well as a good shooter as the roll man. Very similar to an Andrew DeClark. Okay, now what we will do is bring it out top a little higher. As the screen is set, we will hedge out all the way out. Ron will come, and he will fight over the screen this way. And as he goes through, Greg will go back to his man. Okay? Go back to your man. All right, let's see that. Hedge over top and get back to your man. Good. Okay, three ways. First one, we'll take you through it again. Let's go to blitz. We don't wait for the screen to occur. We blitz the man together. Good. Then we go for the steal. Second one. Now we hedge out and sprint under. Ready? Hedge out, sprint under. Good, and we're back. Fine. Third one, we hedge out, we fight over top of the man. Ready? Hedge out, fight over top, get back. Good. We base it on the personnel. We break it down three different ways. We do add a fourth, which we call we string the man. No reason to show you that now. Those three ways, based on the other team's strengths and weaknesses, will help you defend the pick and roll.
Good looking out on the shorties, you know. Then every day that a white man comes to the rescue of my little soldiers. I just wanted to tell you I appreciate it.
Little soldiers?
What exactly do you know about it? Your ass live up in Beverly Hills somewhere, right? Am I right, Beverly Hills? I provide for these little brothers right here. These little brothers is my first line of defense. They're my little eyes and ears out there.
Where's Nina?
I'm giving them entry-level positions into the only growth sector occupation that's truly open to them right now. That's the substance supply industry. They're going to run this shit someday. They're going to have the whole empire. Man, y'all don't give a fuck about it, you greedy-ass politicians. That's what you tell me. Every time that y'all vote to cut them school programs, every time y'all vote to cut them funds to the job programs. What the fuck? How a young man going to take care of his financial responsibilities working the motherfucking Burger King? He ain't. He ain't it, please. Don't even start with the school shit. Man, ain't no education going on up in that motherfucker. Because y'all motherfucking politicians done fucked the shit up. So what they going to do? What a young man supposed to do then, right? What's he going to do? He going to come to me. That's what he's going to do. Why? Because I'm a businessman. And as a businessman, you got to limit your liabilities. And that's what these shorties are for me, limited liabilities. Because of their limited vulnerability to legal sanctions, man. It's the same fucking thing in politics, dog. You find an edge, you gotta exploit that shit. That's why y'all send all the motherfucking teenagers to Iraq. Die over some motherfucking oil money. Send the motherfucking CIA up in the hood with all the fucking yayos slanging in the hood, man. It's the same shit in politics.
There's a time when every homie got to risk his neck and fight for the thing that he believe in, and he got to preach it right. If he don't got shit to die for and he's afraid to shed the light, then he ain't got shit to live for, scumbag.
I said, okay, well, you know, that's just what happened. Why am I doing this in the first place? There are very selfish motives and motives to actually do this in the first place. There are very selfish motives trying to figure out this to actually
drunk again in twilight regions, where walking memory unpicks its fairest flowers among shorn legions of torn lives and tattered lovers, and the still innumerable illuminated birds of desire, each blind and mad on his own wire. And in a wander of unwaking, we wallow after the shot swallows of yesterday's mistakings, until at last come dropping down from foothills as far away as Uganda, the winged, pregnant plovers of undesiring tomorrows.
You looking for anything special?
What are you? Huh?
My name's Ferguson. I'm a bank teller.
I'm Clark Gable. I talked to the Ferguson guy. I followed him back to his bank. He doesn't know a thing. I need to talk to Fuller.
He's upstairs.
Cut the crap! You think I don't know what's going on? I need to see him. I need to talk to him again.
You read the letter. I need to know what's in that letter.
Everything. You know, when I first read it, I thought it was a gag. You know, the world's a sham. Fat chance. But I'm not stupid, Mr. Hall. I watched you and Ferguson do the old switcheroo. And all that stuff about going to the ends of the earth.
What stuff about the ends of the earth?
I did exactly what the letter said. I chose a place that I'd never go to. I tried to drive to Tucson. And I figured, what the hell? Never been to the countryside. And I took that car out on the highway. I was going over 50 through that desert. After a while, I was the only car on the road. It was just me and the heat and the dust. And I did exactly what that letter said. Don't follow any road signs and don't stop for anything. Not even barricades. But just when I should have been getting closer to the city, something wasn't right. There was no movement, no life. Everything was still and quiet. And then I got out of the car. And what I saw scared me to the depths of my miserable soul. It was true. It was all a sham. It ain't real.
Why would Fuller write to me about the limitations of the simulation? I know the limitations.
Well, I'm asking the questions now. I want to know why. Why would you put us through this? Why are you fucking with our minds?
You weren't supposed to find out.
Well, I did. And now I want you to show me what is real. Is this real? Is that real blood? How do you like having your life fucked with?
It's a time in your life before you cover yourself up, before you hide yourself, before you begin to play a part. Family albums always seem to inspire a sense of nostalgia for the old days, which seem to offer a more deeply felt, meaningful existence than the present. But when those pictures were taken, there was no sense of that period being better than any other. On the contrary, people looked back nostalgically to an earlier time. Other people see you more clearly than you see yourself, which is frightening. The realization that you cannot know what you really look and act like, because you're trapped inside yourself, inside your own body, inside your own subjectivity, but that other people can. They know you, in a sense, better than you know yourself. You know what you feel, which they don't, but they know how you look. They know how you move, how you sound. They have a much clearer idea of the impression you make than you ever will. And as hard as you may try to control and fashion and manipulate the image you're projecting to others, as deliberate and as scrupulous as you may be about what you're trying to put out there in the world, unless you're a great and gifted actor, people are pretty observant, and they probably can see right through you, or they can guess what's really going on anyway. Everyone else experiences you, but you. You're trying to stop the flow of time, to make time stand still when you take a picture, so you can get a look at something or someone and see what it is. But you know, it's very hard to pin down reality because time continues to move. People are living, breathing things. Even buildings change in the light because the light is always changing. And all a picture can do is hold one moment. And since everything is organic, is constantly evolving, since time does not stop, photography is misleading. It does not mirror the truth. But I'll take pictures anyway.
Do you think you want to get into a coat and tie, sir?
Hey, what's happening, my man? I'm going to have to get that tan.
Democrats' only strategy is to reflect every Republican theme while opposing every Republican reform. And rather than contend for an agenda of his own, he just adopts Republican rhetoric.
You'd have longer pants.
We know big government does not have all the answers.
As a matter of fact, the shorter pants have a certain urban youthful quality. Sir, the glasses are good, but I really want to see your eyes. And the hat's wonderful. I do like the hat.
Budweiser, on the blimp, they're selling Get Drunk and Fly Around.
The people at Fidelity Providence have been helping support and protect families for over 100 years.
Senator, the glasses are the style, isn't it?
Support people in America
style.
By providing a variety of health plans, life insurance policies, real estate investments, not only for families, but for the changing face of America. You can trust Fidelity Providence with your future.
Welcome back. In our Los Angeles studio, we have incumbent Democratic Senator Jay Bulworth of California. Good evening, Senator. Senator, why this new campaign style? Why this new manner of dress and speech? Your ethnic manner of speech, your clothes, the use of obscenity.
Obscenity? The rich is getting richer and richer and richer while the middle class is getting more poor. Just making billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of bucks. Well, my friend, if you weren't already rich at the start, that situation sucks because the richest motherfucker in five of us is getting 98% of it. And every other motherfucker in the world is left to wonder where the fuck we went with it. Obscenity? I'm a senator. I gotta raise $10,000 a day every day I'm in Washington. I ain't getting it in South Central. I'm getting it in Beverly Hills. So I'm voting in the Senate the way they want me to, and I'm sending them my bills. But we got babies in South Central dying as young as they do in Peru. We got public schools that are nightmares. We got a Congress that ain't got a clue. We got kids with submachine guns. We got militias throwing bombs. We got Bill just getting all weepy. We got Newt blaming teenage moms. We got factories closing down. Where the hell did all the good jobs go? Well, I'll tell you where they went. My contributors make more profits making hiring kids in Mexico. Old brother can work in fast food if he can't invent computer games. But what we used to call America, that's going down the drains. How's a young man going to meet his financial responsibilities working at motherfucking Burger King? He ain't! And please, don't even start with that school shit. There ain't no education going on up in that motherfucker. Obscenity? We got a million brothers in prison. I mean, the walls are really rocking, but you could bet your ass they'd all be out if they could pay for Johnny Cochran. The Constitution's supposed to give them an equal chance. Well, that ain't going to happen for sure. Ain't it time to take a little from the rich motherfucker and just give a little to the poor? I mean, there's boys over there on the monitor. They want a government smaller and weak. But they'd be speaking for the richest 20% when they pretend and they defend in the meek. Ah, shit, fuck, cocksucker. That's the real obscenity black folks living with every day, is trying to believe a motherfucking word Democrats and Republicans say. Obscenity? I'm J. Billington Bulworth, and I've come to say the Democratic Party's got them shit to pay. It's gonna pay it in the ghetto. It's gonna pay it in the...
Senator, are you saying that the Democratic Party doesn't care about the African-American
community? Isn't that obvious? Look, a lot of people think there are no black leaders today because they all got killed, but I happen to think it's because of the decimation of the manufacturing base in the urban centers. Don't you think so?
What do you think my age is?
He's out of his time. Bless you.
You know, the guy in the booth who's talking to you on a tiny little earphone, he's afraid the guys at network going to tell him he's through if he lets the guy keep talking like I'm talking to you. Because the corporation's got the networks, and they get to say who gets to talk about the country and who's crazy today. I would cut to a commercial if you still want this job. because you may not be back tomorrow with this corporate mob.
Cut to a commercial.
Okay, flush him.
Cut the commercial. Cut the commercial. Cut the commercial. Cut the commercial.
Okay, okay. I got a simple question that I'd like to ask of this network that pays you for performing your task. How come they got the airwaves? They're the people's, aren't they? Wouldn't they be worth $70 billion to the public today if some money-grubbing Congress didn't give them away for big campaign money? It's hopeless, you see. If you run in for office without no TV, if you don't get big money, you get a defeat. Corporations and broadcasters make you dead meat. You've been taught in this country their speech that is free, but free do not get you no spots on TV. If you want to have senators not on the take, then give them free airtime. They won't have to fake. Telecommunications is the name of the beast that's eating up the world from the west to the east. The movies, the tabloids, TV and magazines, they tell us what to think and do and all our hopes and dreams. All this information makes America fat, but if the company's out of the country, how American is that? But we got Americans with families can't even buy a meal. Ask a brother who's been downsized if he's getting any deal. Or a white boy bust an ass till they put him in his grave. He ain't got to be a black boy to be living like a slave. Rich people have always stayed on top by dividing white people from colored people. But white people got more in common with colored people than they do with rich people. We just got to eliminate them.
Eliminate?
Eliminate.
Who, rich people?
White people. Damn. Black people, too. Brown people, yellow people. Get rid of them all. All we need is a voluntary, free-spirited, open-ended program of procreative racial deconstruction. Everybody just got to keep fucking everybody till they're all the same color. I think it's going to take a while. But
thank you, Senator Bulworth. We'll return with former Governor Lamar Alexander after this.